ATX. Mobile.
It's KO4
HX, this is Patrick. KO4 HX. Yeah, I haven't heard you probably in a bit. How you been?
Good. How about yourself?
Okay. I just come from grocery shopping, so there goes my money for the week. I guess inflation's not coming down anytime soon.
I'm on it.
Came down. I assume. What's going to happen in the winter with heating oil, I don't know. But, yeah, you know, I kind of got used to having a certain budget, and now basically I don't.
Budget for anything right now, and as long as diesel fuel stays high, there ain't nothing coming down.
You know, I don't have anything that... No, I should have pulled to the other side of the driveway. I don't have anything that runs on diesel. I know gasoline went down. I've seen it almost, not quite, under $3 in one or two places.
Somebody this morning, they were saying they seen it for $2.80-something over in Anderson. But diesel's still $4.60, $5.70 a gallon. So, I mean, you're talking a dollar and a half more a gallon.
I can't figure when you consider that diesel is basically the, the less refined portion of the, I remember years ago, this would have had to be 40 years ago, high school instructor of mine had, she had one of the Mercedes diesel cars. This would have been 70s, early 80s, when diesel was maybe two-thirds the price, possibly not much more than half the price. And she didn't even put diesel in it. She ran up heating oil, which, you know, you're not really supposed to do, but it pretty much works the same.
Do that on the older diesels, but these new ones, you won't get away with it. At KO4HKX. And Glenn, but I can't remember your call sign, Glenn.
2VNG. Yeah, come on in. We were just talking about how diesel oil got so expensive. When I remember 40 years ago, when Mercedes had one of their first diesel cars, I had a high school teacher that ran her car on diesel wasn't cheap enough, but apparently home heating oil. But now, what really is the difference between the two that you can't substitute one for the other?
Literally, nearly everything is moved by diesel. I mean, your locomotives use diesel, your 18-wheelers use diesel. It's good for moving heavy stuff, whereas gasoline, you tend not to move anywhere near that heavy with it.
Another thing, don't forget, a lot of products are made from the petroleum that would be processed out as diesel, like plastic.
Much diesel that you could squeeze out of a barrel of oil.
Whatever else. So, I guess it depends on the oil, depends on the refining process. They could tweak the process to say, I want extra percentage of,
and the repeater up.
Trying to get in. I was just letting him finish so I could let him know. Glenn, you're in and out of the repeater.
The wrong voice.
I'll be able to get back in. We'll carry on for a minute and see.
I have grocery back to the house, so, because apparently I did grocery run as well. So, let me get these things in here before it starts getting too hot.
Good to talk to you this afternoon, Wyatt, and, I'll talk to you on down the log, KO4HKX, and I'll be mobile monitoring 73.
73, KJ4, CTT, clear.
4HKX, N4ZLK.
Shane, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to hear you this morning. I haven't heard you all day. Or this afternoon, I mean, not this morning. I just took a little nap. I just woke up, so I'm calling it morning.
All day either. I've been in and out. I've been on here a few times.
Busy deliveries. But usually I hear you, but I didn't. Are you going to be around easily tomorrow?
Playing.
Lunch again? See if we can make it work this time?
That sounds good to me.
In touch with you in the morning and see how it goes.
I hope everything's going all right for you since you've been busy.
Busy weekend. Youngest granddaughter turned one today, and they threw a birthday party for her. Of course, it was at our house, so it was a real busy day Saturday, getting everything ready, and then they had a bunch of their friends over. So we were a little exhausted Saturday night.
Your age?
Anybody would have been exhausted after all that.
Trying to keep up with a one-year-old and the rest of the family, too, and get ready for a party? Yeah, I believe I'd have been wore out, too.
Nice shot across the bow there. I appreciate that. I'm wondering, you know, I used to see these parties or get-togethers, and I'd see the grandfather over in the corner, you know, doing nothing, kind of relaxed. I wonder where that went to, because I've never been to one of those yet.
Just got to find you a good, comfortable chair and out of the way and try it out. That's all I can tell you. I don't know. I've never found it either. Of course, I'm not a grandfather yet, so I can't say anything.
Fathers that I knew, not my grandfathers, but all the ones that I would see, they always seem to be a lot older than what I think I am. So maybe that's the difference.
As young as they had kids back then, so I don't know how they'd be any older than we are.
A harder life. That might have been it.
Had a little bit to do with it, but I mean, you got to think, okay, you had, I don't know, let's say you even had 10 kids, and your oldest starts having grandkids, and then your youngest starts finishing it up. By the time you get to the youngest ones, you're going to be pretty well aged, and you're going to be pretty wore out.
Second, N4ZLK.
04HKX, I'll be here for a while.
Turned into a four-lane highway that's a little busy, so I just had to watch for a second.
I don't blame you. You better be watching all four sides, too.
Up to Pigeon Forge?
We left the house about 7:30. We was over there about 9:30, maybe 10 o'clock, because we stopped and got a quick bite, and rode around for a little bit, enjoyed looking at the cars, and then we got out and walked around for several hours, and stayed till about 9 o'clock when everything started getting crazy, and then we left, and enjoyed it. Friday is actually the better day to go, in my opinion, now. After doing that, because all the young kids and the diesel trucks and the diaper draggers weren't there.
Sure, it looked like an aerial shot, and it seemed like it was from this weekend. It looked like there was a mess of cars there, all the headlights and stuff.
Always very, very busy. I don't think I've ever been over there in the 40-plus years I've been going, that it hadn't just been a complete roadblock. You can get out and walk faster than you can drive, so it's been that way every time I've been.
You enjoyed it. I don't know if I would... What's not seeing the cars, but I'm... I don't know. I can't take too much of that. Anyway, I got to run. I'm going to lose the signal here in a second. I can hear you. I'll call you later. KO4HK. 4ZLK.
Good to hear you today, Shane. KO4HKX, and I'll be mobile and monitoring.
JC.
Jerry, KO4HKX.
You doing well today?
Good. Had a good morning, and then after lunch, I don't know what happened.
to the mountain?
Half my shocks weren't working this afternoon, and I don't know what's going on there.
Kind of odd, isn't it? I mean, it's not, today's TJ, it's pretty odd, isn't it?
But it's beginning to come more and more normal. Shops just can't find any help. And the guys that are there just come and go as they please because they know there's nothing anybody can do about it.
It's pretty terrible when it gets like that. There's no way to... I don't see how business owners can get stuff scheduled when you have that going on. They're working here, locally here in town. They're doing okay, I think, but the dealers are doing okay, but I think the ones that are got business where they got a couple of guys working for them, I don't know how well they're doing.
Dealers aren't doing great. I mean, you think about now you're having to schedule for an oil change where used to you could just, go in and it might take them a little bit, but they'd get to it. Now you're having to schedule that stuff in and you just can't walk in and get service anymore. And even when they do schedule it, guys lay out and now they can't get it done. So that's why a lot of places are having trouble getting things turned out in a timely manner. And people are getting mad at them over that and you can't get parts.
My last oil change in my Honda had scheduled about 10 days in advance, I think.
That's a lot of places, so... and that's because they're short-handed. I went into several today, and, there'll be one, maybe two guys there, and that's it, out of the four or five that's supposed to be there.
Well, that's a shame. Yeah, that's a... I mean, for people that like to do that sort of thing, it's a good occupation, and they can make a lot of money these days. I don't get it, I guess, Patrick. I always had to work hard for what I had, and worked a lot of hours and 7 days a week sometimes, and I don't get the mentality these days, I guess.
I'm right there with you. It's pretty sad when I'm more on time and consistent than a lot of the employees are, and I'm an hour and a half away every day. So it's just amazing to me when I walk into these places and the shop owners are begging to say, hey, if you know anybody looking for work, that'll just show up.
High school over here across in Arnold, they just started a new, they do some ag programs and they got a new system set up for doing trades and not just home building trades and brick masonry and that sort of thing at the high school level. I think they're doing a repair, like a mechanical shop too, engine mechanics and that sort of thing, maybe diesel too, but they're talking like they got a lot of interest at that age level because they see what they can make. And, I guess it's just the way you're raised, I suppose. I just had to. A lot of times I didn't. When I was in school, I didn't have to work, but I always did. I worked from the time I was 16. And I would always like to have my own money and that sort of thing. And I just don't get the lack of ambition on some people's parts these days.
But these schools, they got to watch what they're doing, too. They feel these young kids, well, you can go out here and you can make $100,000 right out of school and, turn your inches and this, that, and the other, you're not going to do it. I don't care how good you think you are, you're not going to make that kind of money right out of school. But they think they do, and they fill their heads full of that, and that's why a lot of them don't stay in it, because they don't want to start at the bottom and invest in what it takes to get to the top.
It's in for DJ Steve. I was giving a break in there for Shane. I heard him on a little bit earlier. Yeah, my father-in-law, he was like the DCTVOT coordinator for the county school system for years. And of course, he usually put people where they went to school like half the day, another half they worked in various, whether it be a automotive shop or mill or, whatever, machine shop and that sort of thing, or portable builders. you know, the, some stuff they couldn't do, had to be 18 to do some things, but a lot of stuff they could do. And that always worked out real well, starting at that level, where they actually got the experience. Of course, those kind of trades didn't make that kind of money like they do now either. And I think everybody's expecting to make, you know, six figures, and it just ain't, it ain't that way. I mean, it's, I'm sure there's some that do that, but it's not, you don't start out that way. You got to have the experience and got to have, develop a reputation on top of that. But if you get it for 4 or 5 years and really apply yourself, you can make, you can about write your own check for what you want, I guess. And, but the parts thing, I'm sure, is a, is also a big impediment to doing the service now, too, because I'm sure most of that stuff is just so far behind that you may have to work several months, may have to wait several months before you can get a minute apart.
Yeah, that's a big thing right now, and there's a lot of them out there where they're waiting months to get parts. And, you know, I was talking to one of my customers at the dealership. They work on a team, and their team had over $100,000 on back order just in parts, waiting, vehicles sitting outside waiting on them. Well, the businesses aren't making any money because they've got everything sitting there tied up outside. The technicians aren't making any money because they're on flat rate, so they don't get paid until the job is done. And so now what do you do?
I don't know how, whether this is a true statement or not, but I did hear some people talking about some of the vehicles they were getting in didn't have the chips with them, and they'd put the chips in later. I don't know what chips they were talking about. Now, Patrick, I'm sure you're more familiar with it than anybody would be, but they say they're selling the cars and trucks that don't have some chips in them, and they have to get them at a later date. I'm, like I said, I'm not sure what that would be, but yeah, that's had a kind of high, but I imagine that could happen.
Certain vehicles will say, I'm going to pick on a Ford just because that's where I work most of my career. But say, it needs a PCM, the powertrain control module. Everything else is in the car. They'll ship them out there, and the dealership may have 10 of those, but they got 20 cars out there. Well, when somebody comes in wanting that, they can program that module to that car and sell that car. Well, now they got to reorder another module. So you're only allotted so many at a time, and it's affecting everything.
Yeah, that makes it a lot, man, that makes it a lot more clear for me. I understand what they're doing. They got the vehicles, but they don't have enough modules to install in every vehicle they get. Okay, I got that. Well, that makes sense. It, you know, it's not good, but it does make sense, I guess. But, you know, I remember years ago when, back in the 90s, when they were talking about NAFTA, Ross Perot, he was talking about that big sucking sound coming from Mexico and these other places where they're going to take jobs out of the U.S. Nobody believed him. We're reaping what we sowed to them.
It was a good job at that time. I was working at DuPont making x-ray film, and they created NAFTA and put it in there, and we got bought up, and 3 years later, guess what? No more. They put us out of business because they bought the market shares and put it overseas to do it in Germany.
With a textile company I work with 16 or 17 years, they were public, they went private. I said they went private. I said they're going to sell it out. And this is in the early 90s, and they had a 92, I guess, when they were starting the NAFTA stuff. They were all the executives, one way, they were all for NAFTA because they could offshore it and make more profit. And they had a telephone stall. I was a department manager at that time. I had about 300 or so people working for me. They had a telephone. They had like a direct line to congressional representatives, a senator at that time, and wanted to call and say, support NAFTA. And, you know, they put that phone in my office. I hooked the damn thing and put it in my desk drawer and locked it up. I said, anybody calls on that phone, that's all you're doing is sending your own job somewhere else. I said, this is not for your benefit. Of course, I called a lot of caused a lot of slack about it, but but that's just the way it was. You're just shipping your own job overseas, and it didn't take long. It took about, like I said, 10 years or so, 10 or 15 years, and that was about it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's what happened to us. DuPont owned the manufacturing plant up there. They moved it into a holding group called Sterling Diagnostics. And as soon as that all passed, Sterling Diagnostics merged with AGFA, and the company had to stay in business for 3 years in that form. That was part of the regulations under NAFTA, and at that 3-year mark, they shut it down.
To 94, I guess, and business was still okay at that time, but you know, when I started out back in the 78, I guess, we had like, I don't know, maybe next to Duke Power, I think we might have been South Carolina's largest single employee. We had our own insurance company, the whole deal, you know, self-insured, and probably had 20,000 employees, and it went down to, they acquired another company just to get the name brand in about 1987 or so. And when they did that, I said, they just acquired brand names so they could keep the brand names up and outsource them somewhere else eventually. Of course, that's what happened. It took when I left the business altogether in 2008, it basically dried up. There's still some stuff left around, but it basically dried up. Everything was overseas. They shipped everything to Brazil at that time. By that time, it just it was a great company while it lasted. It would last for about 100 years in the grandkids of the original owner, you know, wanted to get out of it, I guess, and take the money and run. That's what they did.
I guess DuPont seen the writing on the wall for X-ray film also, everything going digital. And so that was another big player in the game for us, too. So, but AGFA wanted that technology that we had at the plant. And they spent the money to get it, along with the market share. And I guess they rode it for as long as they can, and they're still making film now.
K4HX and 4DJC. Well, you know, I didn't know they were still using film for that. I mean, I've seen the digitized stuff, but I didn't know they were using film for that. But I guess they are in some cases, maybe in some areas. I wasn't aware of that. That's interesting. It's just a real shame though, the sales manufacturing, the heavy manufacturing go, and the cars go, and everything else goes along with it, I guess. And I said, you know, we can't all be in nothing but a service industry. We got to produce something. If we don't produce manufacturing anything, that means you got to depend on everybody else for imports. And I said, they can cut you off anytime they want to, and then they got you, just like they have. You know, just like the guys have done to the Europeans. I mean, they cut off their supplies, and, you know, they're at their mercy. Then they can do whatever they want to.
Depending on somebody else for your livelihood, no matter how small it is, it can definitely put a hurt on you. But, Jerry, I am coming up on the state line, so I'm going to go ahead and say 7-3s and clear out. And good to talk to you this afternoon, and I'll talk to you on down the log, KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now.
Back home. Good talking to you, Patrick. Care 4HX and 4DJC clear.